Hello everyone and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast and this is episode 101 titled Do I Really Need Grow Lights? And today's date is the 30th of January 2017. Coming up, I've had a really productive weekend on the plot, so I think it's been productive anyway. And I'd like to share that with you. And then I've done a bit of research into whether or not I need grow lights. So firstly, let's get on with a diary. Tuesday, I managed to finally buy some home guard potatoes. Now, these potatoes I've been growing for the last couple of years and I really like them. I really highly recommend them, but I've struggled to find them anywhere. A couple guys on YouTube recommended JBA seed potatoes, and yeah, they definitely had them. Very good website. They were $3.99 for the bag, which is the same as what I paid for them in the shop I got them from. But with JBA seed potatoes, as postage and packaging, which was nearly a fiver, which made it about £9 just for 2 kilos of home guard potatoes. If I hadn't found them by now, I would have ordered them. But I managed to find them in this garden centre on the off chance. I just haven't stopped there as I was passing. And these are now sat on the table chitting, but I may have to move them into the shed soon. I'm just a bit worried that the shed might be a bit too cold for them, but we'll see as we go on. That same day, I went to get some wood chip from my normal supplier, but as I was getting it, one of the guys came out and sort of said it's not free anymore. They're charging for it, and they're charging £5 a day. Now, normally, I just grab a bag for whenever I'm passing and just build it up slowly. Now, like they're charging £5 a day, take as much as you like, so it'd probably be worth me just setting aside a day every few months and going to get a load. Saturday, I went down the allotment, basically because the weather was better than, or the weather forecast said the weather was going to be better on Saturday than it was on Sunday, and that was correct. One of the first jobs I'd done was staking the peas. These peas I planted out a few weeks ago, and they're actually looking like they're growing really, really well. So they need some stakes, just some canes in the ground for them to grow up and really get going. I have to say, they're looking like some of the best peas I've ever grown so far. So I'm really pleased with them. I then tackled the job of pruning the raspberries. I tried weeding the ground around them as well, but because the ground's so compacted, I got some of the weeds out and I couldn't find my little hand weeder. So there's still weedy patches in amongst the raspberries, but I'll work on that over this next year. However, pruning the raspberries was quite simple. Basically, I got one roller I treat as summer raspberries. I have no idea what varieties these are, by the way. But the roller I treat as summer varieties, I just cut off the oldest twigs. And the one, the larger patch is what I treat as autumn ones. And I cut these off down at the ground. So now they're pruned. I'm hoping to find my hand weeder and get it in there and give them a good weed and then mulch the soil. That's planned for this weekend. I am also next winter considering redoing, digging these raspberries out, throwing them away and restarting all over again. Building a bed up, mulching it. Just because the weeds are so bad and the ground's so compacted, I think it's going to need readjusting. That's where my mind's at the moment, anyway. I then went on to the newer plot and hoed down one side, just clearing all the weeds and everything. The soil here is actually really quite nice and soft, and the weeds came out quite easily just with a hoe in this little area. That's the advantage. I know it was worked last year, so which is why I kind of wanted it. My original plot took a lot longer because of the fact that there was it had been vacant for a while, I believe. So yeah, I've got on and I've hoed out. I've also hoed half of the part of the middle. That's going to take a bit longer to do, but nevertheless, it's looking a hell of a lot better. I also harvested for some leeks, cabbage, carrots and parsnips. These are from both, and some Brussels sprouts as well. These are from both the plots as such. And they're pretty good harvests of each. Sunday, I spent at home. I was looking in my propagators and I didn't have a huge amount more space. So I've shuffled a few things around. Basically, the onions that were in the larger pots, they've came out and they're now sitting on top of the propagator just to keep a bit of heat. I've potted up the sweet peppers and they've also gone on top of the propagator, also giving them a bit of bottom heat. And then there was some coriander, like sown in December. I've potted those up. They don't need bottom heat, and they're doing pretty well. This gave me enough space to fit four more of my smaller pots in. So I've sown some more onions. These are a variety called Red Baron. Some red and white alpine strawberries. Some all-year-round cauliflower and some dill. Dill obviously being a herb that I'm going to use quite a bit in pickles and things, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, yeah, I've got more that are going to need potting up pretty soon, especially the aubergines, but they're all growing well. There'll be a video out where I've gone over them, as you can see, but things are really moving along in there. I've then added a bit more mulch to the greenhouse. Now, this mulch was just compost out of the compost bins. It's getting to that time when I'm going to be starting to mow the lawn and stuff soon, so I'm going to need the compost bins emptied. Good news about Bear, one of the chickens, the brown one. She started laying again. We're back up to 2 eggs on most days. So that's been a development over the last few days. So really pleased about that. Grills has been providing us eggs all throughout the winter. She hasn't stopped laying at all, and I'm really pleased with that. Bear went for a molt where she stopped laying, but now she's back into it again. So that's all the updates I've got for you this week. A fair bit going on. Things are moving along really well. Really pleased with how everything's going. So, do I really need grow lights? Now, to work out whether I need grow lights, I need to work out what they're intended for. And they are basically intended to give a bit more lights to plants during shorter days in order to make them grow stronger. As if you start small seedlings, the sunlight, they need a lot of light to get them growing. At the moment, we're getting 8 hours of sunlight, 9 hours, maybe a bit more. Yeah, 10 hours, give or take, at the moment. Beginning of January, you're down to about 8 hours of sunlight. However, with overcast days, you could get less, so on and so on. Now, for real strong plants, you need sort of 18 hours of sunlight. Now, as I grow mine in the potting shed, which is self-facing and has plenty of light coming in from it. When I was considering making a grow light, my idea was I've got an old bottle fridge, the type that you'd see behind a bar, and I was going to convert that into a grow room. So if you're in a pub and you look behind and you see that well-lit where all the bottles are kept, it's a reflective material all the way around. That's why they're so bright and bring your attention in, which I thought would actually make a rather good grow room. My idea was to turn off the refrigeration cycle on this, keep the fans running, and use the lights that are in there to grow, which at the moment just normal fluorescent light bulbs. But my research concluded that the light spectrum from these fluorescent is mostly yellow, whereas plants need light from the red and blue spectrum as well. This was researched by NASA. So I would have needed specific grow lights bulbs to do this that cater for a wider spectrum of light. Now, there are many different types of bulbs, such as fluorescent, metal halide, or what I would have chosen was LED. LED lights are more expensive to buy, but cheaper to run. I worked out that the cost of running a fluorescent would have been about £8 a week, whereas the LED would have been £3 a week. Based on 18 hours a day, that's electricity costs. It's not a huge amount, if I'm honest. Again, that does vary on how much your electricity cost and supplier, the wattage of the bulbs and so on. I've kind of roughly worked them out on I think the LED was a 250 watt, whereas the fluorescent was a 400 watt. So there's a slight difference there, but the LED gives a much more efficient light because the fluorescent light is also creating heat at the same time. So that 400 watts is not just light, it's also heat. The LED bulbs that I looked into, they cost between £10 to £100, depending on size, quality, and the supplier. However, a few years ago, these were a couple of hundred quid for the cheapest, so they've came down quite a bit in price. So after all this research, and if I'm honest, it's mostly down to the cost and how my ceilings are getting on, I've decided I'm not going to get any lights. I like the idea of converting this bottle fridge, but the price of running, it kind of defeats the point of what I'm trying to do, is grow food to get a cheaper lifestyle as such. That's just one thing I'm trying to grow food for anyway. And that just is just an extra expense. I'm not a pro grower. I'm not a competitive grower. And these are the people that really grow by the grow lights because they want longer growing season. So they're going to buy the lights. They're going to start seeds early. They're going to give them 18 hours of sunlight or artificial light, and they're going to grow bigger and bigger before they go into the soil. There is also, of course, the illegal use of growing lights, and people have grown things for illegal use, shall we say, where I have to admit, when it comes down to grow lights, they do have most of the information, that and hydroponics. Anyway, let's get away from the point. So yeah, I've decided I'm not going to grow any or buy any grow lights. I'm just going to stick with putting them in my potting shed. I mean, the main thing I need is warmth. Now, my little potting shed is, I don't actually know the exact size. I'd say it's about 6 foot by 4 foot. It's quite high. I've got the two heated propagators in there for starting seeds off, and they're doing really well in there. The seedlings seem okay. They seem pretty happy. They're not really getting past the seed leaf stage at the moment, but that may happen now. The days are noticeably getting longer. It was 10 to 5 when the sun set today. This time next week, it'll be 5 o'clock when it sunsets. So the days are getting longer. The sunlight is getting more, so they're going to grow and grow. I've started them off early enough that they can go in and they should be able to produce plenty of food. Whether or not I change my mind in the future is another thing, but we'll see on that. Okay, so last week's news article, I have to say, was pretty awesome, and I found it really inspiring. And it was about an entrepreneur in London who's converted waste food into hummus as a business. And when I was reading this article, she was a chef, and she just horrified at the amount of food that gets wasted. I mean, in this country alone, about half of all the food that's produced ends up in the bin. And yeah, I mean, it is shocking. I've seen it myself when I've worked in restaurants, and okay, a fridge breaks down, they may have to get rid of some of it. It's still a hell of a lot of food that goes wasted. There was also an incident I spoke about last year where I went to a care home. They just finished serving lunch. Now, they had a carvery day, I think, and they had a huge organic pork joint, and it was beautiful. I think it was something like 3 kilos. I think I priced it up about 15 quid's worth. I brought it home because they were going to throw it away, and it done us quite a few meals. So I love this idea. Absolutely love this idea of turning waste food into hummus. In fact, it inspired me to make a parsnip hummus and a carrot hummus over the weekend, which I'll be sharing those recipes on Wednesday. And they're quite tasty, quite a lot of it, and they do great for dips and salads and things. So pretty good. As I say, I found it really inspiring, this article, and there's a link on the show notes if you want to read my take on it. My only criticism, and I said this in the post, great idea, but it's a small dent in the problem. We all need to reduce our food waste from the fact that half of it gets thrown away. Now, a lot of it is at the production side. Supermarkets only buy, let's take a strawberry. They've got perfect size, perfect shape strawberry. And if they don't hit that, they get thrown away. Well, those strawberries are still edible, the ones that have been thrown away. They're still tasty, they're still just as good. They're just, the supermarkets won't buy them. And it's a shame, it's a real shame, it's a waste. But those strawberries, I've always thought, they're perfectly good for making jam, selling to a jam factory. And that's why I would be looking at it as well. And I think this is where the industry itself needs to look at very hard at things and sort of say, yeah, we could be using this and that. After all, I mean, I've done some investigation into whether or not it would be worthwhile doing a jam-making business, because I make a lot of jams and I quite like it. By the time I priced everything up, I would come in 4 or 5 times the price that supermarkets sell jam for. So it was not a worthwhile business. I mean, how people make money in jam, I never know. I don't think they do, really, if I'm honest. But if they're using perfectly good strawberries and the farmers are throwing these strawberries away, well, I reckon the jam companies could buy those strawberries at half the price and save a lot of profit. So that's the news article and my little rant. As I said, there's a link on the show notes for this if you want to go and read it in the on the blog post. So my review of the week, and this is actually something I've wanted to review for quite a while, and I brought these a few months ago. It's from Amazon this time. It's a pair of ratchet anvil pruners made by Wilkinson Sword. Currently, the price on Amazon is £14.99. I found them sharp straight out the shop, and they were fantastic. They cut through hardwood up to about an inch thick with branches and stuff. With really a decent cut, you're not struggling to get it. Half of this reason, one, they are extremely sharp out the box, but also because they're ratchet, but you can squeeze down on the handle as far as you can go, and if you can't get any further, you release the handle, The handle springs back up to fully open, but the jaws stays shut. So you've got that extra purchase to really squeeze down again. Fantastic. They've revolutionised it. I mean, for $14.99, they are so good. And I still like my Fiskars hand pruners, but now I find myself reaching for these because of the fact that they do make life so much easier being a ratchet. My only criticism with them is would be sharpening them, but I'll look into that in the future. I like pruners that come apart so I can sharpen them easily, and that's not going to happen with these. But anyway, there's a link to the Amazon. There's an Amazon affiliate link in the show notes. So if you want to buy a pair, I do recommend them. If these break, I would not hesitate to go and buy another pair. Fantastic. I'm so pleased with them. I've been meaning to review them for a while. Talking of Amazon affiliate link, and I'm starting to wrap up here now. You can support this show and everything I do by doing your shopping through Amazon on my affiliate link. It doesn't cost you any more. I just earn a bit of a commission from Amazon for doing that. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up now, and I will speak to you all again next week. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to talk about yet. I've got lots and lots of ideas of things I want to do. But if anybody wants to throw any ideas my way, love to hear from you. Especially if you news articles, anything like that, throw my way, get in touch, and I'd love to hear from you. So that's it for this week. I'll see you again next time.